And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. That'd be Alabama. And I mean, this show sends its signal way on down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back over to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi, thrown in just for good measure. All right, so I was sitting here texting, and Boomer goes, like, you're on. Oh. Oh, I got
that's the good thing. I can just say, hey, you're on, and it's not like you have to go far to your microphone.
That's true. It's right here.
But kind of like, oh, darn.
Plus, since you rearranged the studio.
Now I can just look at you.
Now you just look at me like.
Instead of my back just going,
what are we
throwing
doing?
My arms up.
Yeah, I used to talk to the back of Boomer's head. Now he's actually looking me in the eye like a man.
That's right.
Okay. Hey, listen, by the way, the show is streaming as always. If you want to see the video feed of studio, you're welcome to it. You can be finding it at rightsideradio.org. Where else, Boomer? All the places.
We got, Twitter, YouTube, Twitch, and yeah, the website going on.
And the website,
right now.
Rightsideradio.org. You can also catch the resources.
Oh, Facebook
every
Live.
Day. And Facebook Live.
I knew I was forgetting something.
Lord.
I know. We're everywhere.
What are we not on? Okay. So yeah, the show is streaming everywhere. And on Twitter, by the way, you can follow me too. If you're on Twitter, go follow me. I always retweet the broadcast so you can see it on my Twitter feed as well. Mine is @sen. That's @sen Phil Williams. @sen Phil Williams. Just follow me and you'll pick it up daily. Okay, so I'm looking at what we got going on. And speaking of Twitter, this is a total aside. What we got going on with us right now is we jumped on Twitter was it 2 weeks ago-ish?
Yeah, about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
I would say so.
And who was it that said, I am going to Twitter from now on because that's the only free speech platform left that won't try to deplatform you? I can't remember who it was.
But I
saw it, and I sent it to you.
Right.
Next day I came in, you had us set
was
up on
Twitter.
Was
it somebody from Daily Wire?
Yes, it was. It was Matt Walsh.
Matt Walsh.
Yeah. So so we started doing it on Twitter and because the true belief is that Twitter's not going to get deplatformed or deplatform you. All right, that being said, last night, major announcement, Tucker Carlson came out with a video. I watched it, and he's just, in his usual Tucker way, he just goes, hey, I'm back, And he says some things, about how truth in broadcasting is important and not allowing the narrative to get shaped to a point that it can no longer be distinguishable from truth or reality or a lie. And it was a very kind of candid, frank assessment of where he believes the world of media is today. And then he announced his show is coming back and it will be streaming on Twitter every day. So
crazy.
It's
crazy. That's awesome.
I mean, yeah. And as far as we know, it's just him. Although I do believe there was some report that he's been talking to Elon Musk. Who knows?
Oh.
He just did an interview with Musk about a month ago. And so they probably swapped cell phone numbers.
Oh, I'm sure. Hey, here you go.
Yeah. Give me a call. We'll do brunch. But yeah, so Tucker Carlson is coming back. Going to be on Twitter. Text lines are going bananas. So we got a number of things. Let's see if I'll get a few of those before I jump into the dipper here. Teresa is, was that a new texter? It is indeed. Brand new texter, Teresa from Town Creek. Glad you are here, Teresa. Thanks for joining. You are a Right Side ruffian now. Dylan from Athens, he says, the timing of the Santos arrest seems like a good distraction for Biden to me. What you think, Mr. Phil? I think you're right. John from Huntsville. Again, texting in saying, Phil, I completely agree with your monologue. One time when I was playing golf, the ball landed perfectly on an upslope. Instead of going through my normal routine, I just walked up to the ball and swung as hard as I could. And so I guess what he's telling me is he got ahead of it. I see what he's saying. He got ahead of it. Alex from Athens likes the weird load term. She says weird load. That is a great line. And she says, I just wonder if you're going to charge royalties. I should.
We should.
What do we have? We have weird load, jackassery, cacistocracy.
There's a few we got. We need to write them down, honestly.
We need to have a Right Side glossary.
Yes.
Your handbook of Right Side terminology. And then Bryant from Huntsville says, if Santos had a D by his name, would he be in the same boat? Great question. And then I got something. Check out Russell from Rural Route 1. He has something about the broadcast. If you wouldn't mind just checking that for us, I'd appreciate it. Boom shakalaka. All right, let me jump into the triple dipper. So the triple dipper, number one, your grassroots are showing. Your grassroots are showing. What am I saying there? Well, what I'm loving is the fact that you got conservative moms and dads and just average Joes and Janes all over the nation right now that are recognizing their time is now. Folks, I'm going to tell you, the thing that gets the most attention to an elected official is when their local folks get active. You know, it's not the same for someone to have a group of activists fly in from out of state to do stuff. It's not the same when you get as an elected official, I can tell you, when you get the 1,015 emails, they all look exactly the same. Each one has just been branded with somebody else's name. It's the same email. You're just cut and pasted. That gets old. What matters, and what used, I mean, I used to see it, what I used to experience it, what matters the most is when you see local citizens who understand the issue and they know the times they're in, who are willing to step out and say, hey, here's the deal. Here's why we're concerned, or here's what we really hope you'll do. And I used to see it. I mean, so lobbyists would come see, when I was a state senator, lobbyists would come see us all the time. It was normal. Some of them were good folks. They just like represent their clients and it didn't bother me. Some of them were kind of shifty. But then they would come in and say, hey, Senator, do you have a minute? I want to talk to you about that bill. I represent so-and-so. We have an interest because, and you know, that was helpful sometimes. If there was a gray area that I didn't understand fully, they could give me their reasons why they thought it was a good idea. I always told them I'll have to read the bill first before I would commit to anything. But then the other thing that would get me, though, was when I didn't know the issue well. And that happens because a legislator is just a person like anybody else. I mean, I may have a bill on something related to medical terminology. I'm not a doctor. I have to go to the other doctors who are in the legislature and say, what do you know about this? You know, somebody was dealing with a question in the law. They might come to me and say, you know, what does this mean? You're a lawyer. Or, hey, Phil, if we did this, how's the military going to react? Okay, so all those things that I have a niche experience in, yes. If I have a principled stand, I get it. Yes, I know where I am. But then there were times when it was gray. And just an example, economic development, let's say. What should we do? But how's it going to impact that community? Is it going to be, do they need this? Is it good? Are we going too far? What's the, in any way? And then I would hear from a constituent. I get that phone call. And I don't mean the screaming teachers union, sky is falling, chicken little phone call. I'm talking about the well-reasoned individual who would say, hey, Senator Williams, my name's so-and-so. I live over on so-and-so street. And I heard you guys got a bill. And here's what it does. And here's how I think that would hurt me or help me. Wow. All right, man. Thanks. And I would have those calls, and those made the difference. And they always do. I saw a couple of pieces of legislation when I was down there that would go viral. Like, we had a bill that was, you know, sort of dubious at first that would have, because autism is real, but there are some measures of the spectrum, depending upon who you're talking to, that get really, 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 really broad. And there was a bill to increase the ability of insurance to pay for autism-related diagnoses and treatments. And we were a little leery of it. And then parents got involved. And then the state house was filled up with parents and their kids. And they would come in, they want to see you, and they talk about what it would mean to their child if they could get it reimbursed because they can't pay the treatment themselves. And then it got, it took on life, man. It didn't take on life because of any lobbyist. And I still got an award sitting on my shelf in my office that says, you made a difference. And it was from a group of families who gave out a little something to all the legislators who voted to pass that bill into law. It was a viral moment from the grassroots. There's an article on thehill.com, and this is 4 years old almost, 3.5 years old. But it's a good one, and it points out the fact that Democrats have had it going on when it comes to grassroots. Democrats are doing a much better job over the last few years of putting their grassroots together. The article even says policy progress depends on the grassroots. The left proved that local energy can drive political and policy victories, and now they're doubling down. This is 2019. It says the left specifically prioritized grassroots prior to 2018. They helped build voter networks. They mobilized voters. You can look at Nevada as an example. They registered nearly 50% more voters than Republicans because they were getting out there and getting it done, and meant they had a 100,000 voter advantage when they went into the polls. And the left, it says, is absolutely spending massive sums. You got organizations like Democracy Alliance and others that are spending hundreds of millions of dollars to try and get grassroots stuff going. Well, it doesn't always have to be the big money that does it, though. In a little while, you're going to have a call from a guy named Nick Adams from Vestavia, who just literally helped make a difference with hardly any out-of-pocket expense. And they beat a local tax referendum. Man, that is what's got to have to happen. I'm just telling you, it is not out of the realm of reason to imagine that good, honest, daily folks can get her done. Piece in this article from The Hill says the conservative challenge is to activate their citizens. As the left proved back in 2018, this requires more than just television ads or digital campaigns. Grassroots infrastructure is crucial. This is, more than anything, is where conservatives need to invest. But you can look around the nation and you can see examples of what's been done to make that happen. Right here in Alabama, I got some examples. Well, we'll talk about that when we get back from the break. But I'm just telling you, folks, grassroots is where it's at. You see an issue in your community, get some folks together, see what you can do. You would be amazed for such a time as this what you might accomplish. All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, making it cool to be a conservative. A couple of new texters in the lines today. One of them's Luann from Huntsville. Luann, we're glad you're here. Thanks for joining the Right Side Radio. And then Lou from Athens just texted in. I like this. I like this verse, too. Lou from Athens says, hey, Phil, just a reminder why it's important to be on the right side. Ecclesiastes 10:2. The heart of the wise inclines to the right, the heart of the fool to the left. Nice. Nice. I will call that affirmation and move on. There you go. Talking about grassroots. So a couple things. Like, you can look around the nation. I won't go into all of the stories I've got here because I won't have time. Coming up here at top of the hour, we're going to have a phone call with Nick Adams from Vestavia talking about they just crushed a local tax referendum down there. But, yeah, so here we are looking at things like Christian Post. Last summer, a group of parents got busy when they realized that the school system in Harrisonburg, Virginia, Harrisonburg, Virginia, city public schools were determined to go ahead and let kids do their gender identity thing at school, not tell the parents. Anyway, it was a mess. Well, a group of parents got together and they filed suit. That's one way to go grassroots. But then you got stuff right here at home. City of Mountain Brook, right down yonder in the Jefferson County area, City of Mountain Brook, they have some of the highest amounts of money spent on education anywhere in the state. Now, they got a good graduation rate, 97% graduation rate. They spend more per student because they add their local dollars into it. They spend over almost $17,000 per student annually. $17,000 per student annually. Well, guess why? One of the reasons why is because in 2019, according to WBRC, Mountain Brook voters approved a measure to raise their property taxes. I think that got by a lot of people. And yet, what I will say, too, is when you see folks saying, look, if you're going to take more of our tax dollars and then start doing stuff in our schools that we don't agree with, you're going to hear from us. And so one of my favorite stories, and by the way, I gave them an award. When I worked at the Alabama Policy Institute, we gave a group of families, and they call themselves the Mountain Brook Families. It's the name of their organization. You can find their website. Just Google Mountain Brook Families. Mountain Brook Families became a thing in early 2022 when they got busy because they found out that there was a handbook being used to train teachers in the Mountain Brook school system that was filled up with, well, wokeness, to be honest. And it was, you know, it was social emotional learning. It was CRT. And the parents banded together, like 300 of them showed up at a school board meeting. And that superintendent did not know what to do. And so lo and behold, they got that thing removed. And they were stoked. I mean, some of those folks are still active and doing things as a community organized, keeping wokeness out of their school system. Mountain Brook Families. We gave them an award called the Alabama Policy Institute's Policy Warrior Award. We gave it to a group. I'd never done that before. But then the one you're about to hear of in a minute. So just very briefly, because I don't want to steal the thunder of the person who's coming on the air, Nick Adams. But article here from Over the Mountain Journal. Over the Mountain Journal reported early in April that the Alabama Senate cast a vote on March 23rd in favor of what was known as Senate Bill 63. Nobody really saw it coming. It was a surprise. And it was going to authorize the city of Vestavia Hills to hold a special election yesterday on a $9.8 million property tax increase. $9.8 million property tax. What does that mean to the average citizen? Well, to the average citizen, it means probably paying somewhere, depending upon the value of your house, because you look at Mountain Brook home, or excuse me, Vestavia homes, and you're looking at $300,000 to $500,000 on the average, and you're looking at someone having to pay an additional $300 to $500 a year more in taxes. Here's the thing. Here's what was so galling about this. I understand it takes money to run government. I do. This bill was passed with lightning speed, without much public debate, and it says in this article from Over the Mountain Journal that the superintendent and several design teams with teachers and school administrators and members from the Chamber of Commerce had all worked on this plan for 2 years. 2 years. And yet they passed that bill and gave the people of Vestavia about 28 days warning that there was going to be a special ballot with nothing on it except whether to have a tax increase. I'm going to tell you right now, in the world of politics, that's called shady. That's throwing something out there, trying to get it done for anybody who pays attention. Well, guess what? Some folks paid attention. A group of folks decided they weren't going to sit still and watch their taxes be raised without saying something about it. And so they got busy. And I'm loving this, man. So you're going to hear from him in a minute. We'll have a guy named Nick Adams on who helped. And with very little money, they went at it on something that it shows that all these power brokers thought they had gotten over on, ran a bill in the legislature, got it done, signed by the governor. Hey, we'll get this done, like, you know, throw a referendum together in 28 days. No time to respond. They've been working on it for 2 years. Well, guess what? Grassroots got busy. Grassroots got busy. Grassroots won. So, yeah, we'll talk to Nick Adams here in just a minute. Find out what his thoughts were, what the sentiment of the community was, why they did what they did, how they did what they did. And, folks, I'm telling you, take heart, all right? Take heart, because this is the kind of thing that can happen anywhere. It's not just Vestavia. It's not just Mountain Brook. It's not just in Virginia. It's everywhere. I know folks who've done similar things in Madison County. Some big things just happened in the last few days down in Mobile County. I'm just telling you, grassroots, you can get stuff done. Stay tuned. Conversation with Nick Adams from Vestavia coming up next. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.